This is a weekly summary of news about women and women's issues and from women's perspectives, which comes to you from the weekly Cheers and Jeers column of the Women's E! News. I'm Nancy Casey. Cheers for the August 18th ruling by an Oklahoma judge that doctors don't need to perform ultrasounds and offer women detailed information about the test before performing abortions, thereby striking down the strictest such law in the nation. Judge Vicki Robertson said the 2008 law, which included other abortion-related provisions, violated a state constitutional provision that requires laws to address only one subject. The Oklahoma law, which was never enforced, was the first to mandate that any woman seeking an abortion must have an ultrasound and that doctors describe the image in detail, including organs and extremities, even if the woman objects. In South Dakota, a judge ruled on August 20th that forcing abortion doctors to warn pregnant women about a higher risk of suicide is, quote, untruthful and misleading, unquote. Judge Karen Schreier also removed text from the state's 2005 informed consent law that said women enjoy a legally protected, quote, relationship with their unborn children. The judge did uphold the provisions that doctors must tell women that abortions, quote, terminate the life of a whole, separate, unique, living human being, unquote. The State Department of Health and Planned Parenthood both applauded the ruling. More news to cheer this week. The American Bar Association Commission on Domestic Violence is launching a comprehensive national database of programs providing free legal services to victims of domestic violence. This came in an August 17th press statement. The database will be available to the public through the website of its partnering organization, Pro Bono Net. This project of the American Bar Association Commission on Domestic Violence, which calls itself the only national organization focused exclusively on improving the legal response to domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking, also had support from the Avon Foundation and Verizon Wireless. Cheers for the results of a study showing that the new vaccine designed to protect girls and young women from cervical cancer has a safety record that appears to be in line with that of other vaccines. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and Food and Drug Administration published this finding in a joint report on August 19th. The most common serious complications after vaccination that were found to occur with Gardasil, which has already been given to more than 7 million girls and young women across the country, included fainting episodes and an increased risk for potentially fatal blood clots, possibly related to oral contraceptive use and obesity. While at least 20 deaths and 2 cases of Lou Gehrig's disease were also reported, the study was not able to determine that it was the vaccine that caused them. And now for the bad news. Jeers to Iranian opposition leader Mirhossein Mousavi, who now accuses, quote, establishment agents of raping and torturing prisoners in government custody, lending weight to charges made by reformist cleric and presidential candidate Mehdi Karoubi that some men and women detained in the crackdown following the disputed June 12th presidential election had been raped while in government custody. The turbulence following that vote has plunged Iran into its biggest turmoil since the 1979 Islamic Revolution, exposing deepening rifts within its ruling elite and also further straining relations with the West. Parliamentary Speaker Ali Larijani said on August 20th that he was ready to consider any documents submitted by Karoubi to support his allegations, even though the government probe into post-election events didn't uncover such crimes. Larijani was quoted as saying, "He can pursue these issues and we are prepared to consider their documents and proofs. We have no interest in keeping any part of this issue concealed from the public." More news to cheer this week. Aid workers in Uganda say economic disempowerment is what's at the root of a high absentee rate among school girls. Girls, in order to go to school, end up using their bodies as bargaining tools to get things they need, such as uniforms, textbooks, underwear, and even sanitary napkins. Statistics from Plan International, a London-based nonprofit group working to eliminate poverty, indicate that 31% of girls become pregnant while in their teens, and nearly 40% of those pregnancies are unwanted or unplanned. Economics also plays a role in the practice of bride price, a token of appreciation exchanged between two families before marriage, and thereby, and female members of parliament are now seeking to restrict or even eliminate this practice on the grounds that it contributes to domestic violence, sexual assault, and polygamy. Jeers to the results of a study released by Catalyst on August 18th, which finds that high-level businesswomen are tending to be overlooked for promotions during the recession. The nonprofit research group surveyed 873 MBAs who graduated between 1996 and 2007, asking how their careers had fared between November 2007 and June 2009. The results showed that 30% of women in the U.S., Canada, and Asia had been promoted during that time period, compared to 36% of men. However, in Europe, just 26% of women were promoted, compared to 44% of men. The organization also found that women worldwide were more likely than men to lose their jobs, with 19% of female senior executives getting pink slips, compared to 6% of men. Jeers for the sentence handed down to a Malaysian woman who pleaded guilty of drinking beer. She will be caned next week. An Islamic court ordered that Kartika Sari Dewi Sukarno, age 32, be lashed 6 times with a rattan cane. She was caught drinking alcohol in a raid on a hotel nightclub last year. Prosecutor Saiful Idham Sahimi said that Kartika, who chose not to appeal this sentence, will be the first woman caned under Islamic law. Saiful said the rattan cane to be used on Kartika would be lighter than the one used on men, and that its purpose was to educate rather than punish. Some politicians and women's rights activists have criticized the penalty as too harsh. Bad news for Roman Catholics in the U.S. Leaders representing 59,000 women religious are questioning what they say is a lack of full disclosure about the motivation behind the Vatican's apostolic visitation to study the practices of women's religious orders in the United States. The Holy See is looking into the religious life of 341 congregations, examining areas such as their finances, identity, governance, vocation promotion, admission requirements, and formation policies. Sister Anna Marie Sanders, Director of Communications for the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, said on August 17th, quote, "Part of the conversation revolved around the fact that at a time when congregations of religious women are financially strapped, they are concerned about being asked to pay for an investigation they did not ask for." The group also issued a separate press statement that day saying that they, quote, "object to the fact that their orders will not be permitted to see the investigative reports about them," unquote, when they are submitted to the Vatican in 2011. This report was compiled by the staff of the Women's E! News. Rita Henley Jensen is the editor-in-chief. This audio production of Women's E! News was produced in the studios of KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, and brought to you by VP Foundation and Yin Radio, which you can find on the web at vpfound.org. Background music is by Joan Hickey. The text of this broadcast and more news about women can be found at the Women's E! News website, womensenews.org. For Yin Radio and KRFP, I'm Nancy Casey.